Good morning. It's been really hard, hasn't it, self-isolating? Not being able to come to church and give each other a hug or shake hands, stand at the back of church and have a cup of coffee and a chat together. Most of all, I've found the hardest thing of all has been not being able to stand up and worship the Lord together as a congregation, where our voices all flow together in praise to the Lord. I found those things really hard. It was the 15th of March that we decided that we needed to self-isolate. At that particular time, I guess my mind was set on surviving this period of time, getting to the end of it. But since that has happened, God has pressed into me, particularly during the last week, how it's really important to grow in Him during this time. Actually, to realise that we have a sense of purpose, that we have a sense of reason, there is an aim in all of this, that God has not just allowed it to happen, but it has happened for His divine purpose. And He's called us to do something during this time. And He's called us to grow in Him. I want to talk this morning about growing in Him. And I want particularly to think from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 21, exactly how we might grow in God. There are three little cameos that Luke puts together. The first one of them is talking about the sower and the seed. I've called it the method of growth. It revolves around one particular verse. The seed is the word of God. That's verse 11. He then goes on to talk about the measurement of growth. How do we measure how well we're growing? And the answer is that we are like a lamp, and His verse around which everything falls is consider carefully how you listen. That's verse 18. The third little cameo is what I've called the maintenance of growth. How do we grow together? Well, the answer is as family. And Jesus says, those who hear the word of God and put it into practice are my brothers and my sisters. So we start with, well, how do we grow? The method of growth is outlined by Luke in this particular phrase. It's verse 4 of chapter 8 of Luke. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, He told them this parable. Why did He tell them parables? What was the point of a parable? Can I say that there are at least three things that appears to me about a parable? The first is that they are accessible to everybody. We can all understand a parable. It's a story with a meaning. This week, I have been privileged to talk to my grandchildren, four of them at least, every morning, and we go through a little part of the Bible, and most of what we deal with are stories. So this week, we've been looking at Daniel, some great stories in Daniel. And I know this, they will understand what I'm talking about, because stories are accessible to everyone. The second thing about a story is it's very easily recalled. You can remember a story. Now, remember, this was a day when there weren't any books. There were some scrolls. Those scrolls, of course, would have been tucked away in the synagogue in particular. But they weren't easy to get hold of. And even if you could get a scroll, the vast majority of people wouldn't be able to read anyway. So a story is easily recalled, easily remembered. And the third good thing about the stories that Jesus told was He told them deliberately to make people think. This particular story starts with a sower sowing his seed. Maybe as Jesus told the story, he looked out onto the hill, and there somewhere on the hillside, maybe there was a sower throwing his seed. I don't know. But this is how the story goes. As he was scattering his seed, some fell on the path. It was trampled on and birds ate it up. About 6 months ago, when I was walking near where my son lives, I saw a gentleman who was turning a flower bed into a lawn. What he was doing was scattering seed over newly raked soil. A day later, I noticed that that particular area was covered with pigeons. I mean, just covered. It's always true. If you're going to sow seed like that, you're going to need to make sure that somehow or other the birds don't get to it, because birds just love coming to eat seed. Jesus said, some fell on the path and the birds ate it up. The second part of his story is some fell on rocky ground. When it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. It's almost impossible to get rid of every rocky outcrop from a field on the side of a hill in Galilee. So invariably some seed is going to fall there. It will grow, but as it grows, when it has little moisture, it withers and dies. And of course, in Israel, there was a dry season. So the chances of it growing for any length of time was not good. The third bit of the story is other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. A few days back, I was out weeding my flower bed on my front garden. I think I got rid of every single weed that was there. Well, at least I thought I had done. Until a few days later, I looked and saw that there were still some weeds growing. It's impossible to get rid of all those weeds. What happens to seed that falls amongst it? The answer is, it doesn't compete very well and it gets choked. But thankfully, the whole purpose of sowing seed is so that it falls on good soil and then it comes up and yields a crop 100 times more than was sown. And that's the end of the story. What does it mean? Interesting, isn't it? The very next thing that Jesus says is this. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." If we were in church, I would ask you to put your hand up if you've got ears. You can still do it if you want to, because I know very well you've all got your hands up. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be listening to this particular story. You're going to be hearing what I'm saying at this moment. We've got ears to hear. What did Jesus mean? What he meant was, too many of us listen, hear, but don't listen. We hear it, but it doesn't make any impression in our hearts and in our minds. My wife tells me that most men are like that. We hear, but we don't listen. Jesus said, if you've got ears to hear, let them hear. I think he uses the word hear twice because we've got two ears. Let them hear. Hear what God is saying to us. And that's the purpose of parables. Its purpose is for us to listen to what God says, take account of it, mull it over in our minds, reflect on it, meditate on it, and work out what he's saying to us. Paul says this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:7, reflect, meditate, and think on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. I always get into the Bible every morning, at very least. What I seek to do is to find something that I can meditate on and think through for the whole of the day, waiting for the Lord just to pour a little bit more into my heart and mind. Jesus gives us thinking time when he tells us a story. At the end of all of that, the disciples still didn't understand. His disciples asked him, says verse 9, what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." So Jesus said, "I have given to you the secrets of the kingdom of God." I think by that what he did was he unpacked the idea that he had come as Messiah. And they had understood this. This was not just Jesus telling them a nice story, but he says the kingdom of God has come and it's come into your very hearts. In fact, in the very next chapter, Luke chapter 9, Peter was going to say, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And they had understood that, whereas the scribes and the Pharisees would not have one little bit of it. They were the important people. So Jesus spoke to them in parables to give them an opportunity to hear again and again the message of the Lord, and to think it through and to change their minds and hearts. It's a bit of a puzzle, isn't it? That he says, "But to others I speak in parables so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." Wasn't the purpose of Jesus to get people to see and to hear and to understand what he was saying? That quotation comes from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah sees the Lord seated on a throne. And that vision affects Isaiah for the rest of his prophecy. The Lord seated on a throne. If he is sovereign, then we ought to be hearing him and we ought to obey him. So when the call came out, who shall I send and who will go for me? Isaiah puts his hand up and says, Lord, I'm not very good at speaking, but I'll go. What's the message? And God says to him, this is the message. Go tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding. This is Isaiah 6, 9 to 10. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people callous. Make their eyes, their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understanding with their hearts, and turn and be healed. And you get the message. God says, I want your heart. But these people are never, ever going to do that. They're never going to give me their heart. But you keep on telling them over and over and over again. The problem with us hearing a message too many times is that we then start to ignore that message. And our hearts eventually become hardened towards it. The Lord said, that's what I'm calling you to do. Isaiah is to go and preach. The people won't listen to you. They won't hear you. They won't turn. They won't be healed. But keep saying the message. Jesus said, that's why I keep saying the message. And I say it in parables to give them the opportunity to think it through and to turn their hearts to me. God's saying that to us. Too many of us hear a message and don't obey what the Lord is telling us to do within it. The meaning of the parable comes as the people come to, as the disciples come to Jesus and say to him, we don't understand this, Lord. So Jesus says this, the meaning of the parable, verse 11, the seed is the word of God. I was very heartened this week to hear my grandson, Peter, on Facebook, YouTube, really giving a little message, a little thought for the day. And one of the things he said resonated with me. We now have a chance, most of us, I accept that it's hard when you've got family at home 24/7, but most of us have an opportunity to get into the word more now than ever. And he was encouraging people, get into the word, get into the word. Jesus says the same here, the seed is the word of God, it's the word of God, it's the word of God. It's one of Luke's words. Very interestingly, when John the Baptist hits the scene in Luke chapter 3, verse 2 says this, the word of God came upon John. The word of God. That's what hit him, the word of God. This is God speaking. This is not just words from John Baptist. This is the word of God speaking. In chapter 5, Jesus is teaching from Lake Galilee, from the boat, and it says he taught them the word of God. 11 times over in the Acts of the Apostles, it said, so greatly the word of God prevailed and grew. The word of God. The only thing that will make us grow is the word of God. The word of God. Get it into our hearts and minds. Read it, listen to it, pore over it. However you do it, shower yourself in the word of God. Immerse yourself in it. Get into the word of God because that's what makes us grow. The problem is, of course, that we always get distractions. And those along the path, says Jesus, are the ones who hear and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. The devil's been at that for thousands of years. He's the one who said to Eve, did God really say? He challenges the word of God. So we hear something and we believe God's calling us to do something and we say, I wonder if that's what the Lord really meant. Instead of just saying, Lord, thank you for giving me that message, I'm going to go and get on with what you're calling me to do. I've called it devilish distraction. The second problem we get is testing refusals. Those on rocky grounds are the ones who receive, see what they receive? The word with joy. And they say, thank you for that message. It was brilliant. I really loved what you had to say. But sadly, they have no root and they believe for a while. But in the time of testing, they fall away. I have found, worked out, noticed The shelf life of most sermons is about 3 days at the most. By the time we get to Tuesday or Wednesday, we have forgotten what God said to us on the Sunday. And that word, instead of being in our heart like rocky ground, it sprung up and we were determined to do something. And we went away saying, Lord, this is what we're going to be doing from now. And within a short period of time, we have stopped because the word has fallen, sadly, onto rocky ground. The third thing that can happen to the word of God is the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. Seed falling amongst thorns. Those who hear the word of God. And here's the problem, life's worries. We live in a worrying time. We live in an anxious world that doesn't know what's going to happen in almost every area of life. Not just health, but certainly in wealth, life's worries, riches and pleasures. And certainly in pleasures, because we can't meet together any longer to do the kind of things that we used to do. And it's very easy for that seed at this time to fall into thorny ground. We become weedy hearers and we hear the word of God, but we really don't do anything about it. God's calling us as church to hear that word and not allow the other things to come in and dampen the response that we have to his word. But praise God, finally, there are those who I've called the good-hearted nobility. The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word and retain it and persevering produce a good crop. Let me read you what that word noble is translated as. In the Bible, it's translated as beautiful, handsome, excellent, eminent, choice, surpassing, precious, useful, suitable, commendable, and admirable. God says the soil will produce beautiful and handsome and admirable results in hearts that listen to it. But they're not just noble, they're good hearts. The word good is translated throughout our Bible as pleasant or agreeable, joyful, happy, distinguished, upright, honourable. Praise God for a word that produces that which is good and admirable and honourable and beautiful and eminent and choice within our hearts and lives. And we retain that word and we persevere and produce a good crop. Paul was in prison when he wrote these words. In prison, mark you. He was self-isolating. And he wrote these words in Colossians 2, 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ, you heard his word. Continue to live in him, persevering in him. How do you do that? Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. That's the word of God. That's how you grow, when you're rooted and you're built up and you're strengthened in him because you hear the word that has been taught. And the call from the Gospel of Luke is that we hear the word of God and it is built up and rooted within us and we become strengthened in the faith. So how are we going to know that we're growing in him? Verse 16 says, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. You might now expect that what Jesus is going to say is, so set your light up, put it up on a stand so that everybody can see what you believe and can hear the message that you give. He actually isn't saying that. He would be if it was in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, where he says, so let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, but not in Luke. In Luke, this is what he's talking about. He is saying, when the word of God grows within you, it will become so obvious and so outward, it will flow out from you that everyone will be able to see exactly what you are and what you believe. He adds to that, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed. What's inside you will come out. Nothing concealed that will not be known or brought into the open. Jesus said to his disciples in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "And you will be my witnesses." He doesn't say you need to be. He says you will be. We will witness for him. We have no other choice because what is inside has to come out. And that's why Jesus says that in verse 18. He says, "Therefore, consider how you listen." Be careful how you listen. You need to listen in order to listen to obey. You don't listen to a message to say, "Well, that's that message over for Sunday." You don't listen to the message so that you can ignore what the message has to say. You listen to it in order that in your heart you're saying, "God, speak to me because I want to be more like you." And Jesus says this, "Whoever has, therefore, will be given more." The more you learn of him, the more he gives you. Line upon line is Isaiah 28. Precept upon precept, learning more of him as we hear his word and obey what he asks us to do. In fact, if we don't, whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken away from them. The scribes and the Pharisees believed that in the word of God they had eternal life. Jesus says you don't. Even what they thought they had, they didn't have. For they were not interested in the word of God impacting their lives and changing them and making them different people. They were much more concerned about the outward ritualism that said how wonderful they were in being such great synagogue goers, church goers, if you like. Jesus says, careful how you listen. Listen so that your ears will hear, your heart will obey, and you will be a shining light in your generation. Another prison epistle. Paul's in prison, in darkness, when he says this: do everything without grumbling or arguing. Amazing that, isn't it? Do everything without grumbling and arguing. At the moment, it's very difficult to grumble and argue because there's nobody to grumble and argue with. But he says, do everything. When you hear God's word and it impacts your life, you don't grumble and you don't argue. If you're one of the grumblers and arguers within church, listen to this word. Hear what God's saying. So that you will become blameless and pure children of God. Take that on board. It comes in our next slide. Without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine among them like bright lights as you hold firmly to the word of life. As you hold to the word of life, you will shine as bright lights in the world. That's exactly what Jesus is saying here. When you grow in me, you cannot but shine out like a bright light. As you're holding on to the word of life, the critical word is the word. We need to get that word of God, that word of life into our hearts and start obeying. And here is the final little cameo. I've called it the maintenance of growth. The story runs like this. Now, Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. I know what that feels like. I don't remember which day of the week it was because it's happened a few times. But the way we get our groceries now is from our grandchildren. Chloe, Karis and Peter have all delivered groceries to us. And what we do is we open the garage door and they can bring the stuff into the garage and we can be at the other end of the garage. And we then usually have a conversation. They're outside, we're in the garage and we have a sort of a shouty conversation to each other. Now, Jesus' mothers and brothers came near to see him, but were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Well, it's not because of the crowd, but it's through social distancing, but we get the message. Somebody comes to him and said, "Your mothers and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." Now, don't get this wrong. Jesus loved his mother. That's very evident from John 19. And his brothers loved him as he loved them when they came to know him. Otherwise, they would never have written the letters to James and Jude. But nevertheless, at this point, Jesus had something else that he wanted to say that relates to growth. How do we grow in him? Jesus said, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." How do we grow in him? The answer is we grow in him because we belong to his family. And as we belong to his family and a part of who he is, we are children of God. Philippians 2. We're children of God. We hear his word. And as we hear it and it hits our hearts, we put it into practice and we do exactly what he's called us to do. God's calling us throughout this time that's not easy, that's difficult, that's heartrending, that's hard going. God's calling us, number one, to hear his word and to allow that word to go into our hearts so we meditate on it and we reflect on it and we think about it. And secondly, he's calling us to put that word into practice in our hearts and lives. So out of us flow the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in Jesus' face to other people around. And although that treasure's in earthen vessels, folks will see that we know the Lord and that we love the Lord and that we belong to him because his word is in our heart and his light shines out from us. And he has called us to be part of his great family. And because we belong to him, we will listen to what he says and we'll put it into practice in our lives. During this time of self-isolation, we have a phenomenal opportunity to hear the word of God, to obey it, and to be the sons and daughters of the living God for our generation, so that when eventually this all comes to an end and folks ask the question, how did that happen? Why did God allow such a pandemic in our world? We have him so deeply in our hearts that we answer them and give them the truth of the word of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Praise you that you gave it to us so that we can understand more and more about you. We pray, Lord, that your word will dwell richly in our hearts by faith. And that in this time when we don't see each other together as church, we pray, Lord, that we'll grow in you for your glory alone. Amen.